hearts. Take your Bibles today, 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, the orchestra will let you come on down. And wonderful to have you in God's house. The Nolans are here from Washington. We're glad you're visiting your family today. And Jennifer Millward, you're here right up here. I see you there from Nevada. Good to have you back home. And of course, I mentioned Brother Young, Brother Nikolai. You have your daughter here, granddaughter. It's wonderful. It's great. And throughout the house, I'm missing folks. Marge, good to see you with your sister here. Let's all stand together, shall we? Normally, we'd read the Bible, but I'll get right into the message, and we'll look at the Word of God together. About 2 weeks ago, I spoke to us on the subject of personal revival. I'm so burdened for Jack Treiber having revival. I must have revival. I mentioned I was with Bobby Robertson, who just passed away this year. And about 10 years ago, when he must have been about 76, I was preaching revival at his church. And perhaps one of the most godly men I've ever met, pastor the same church 61 years. And he said this to his church, big auditorium like this. He said, Bobby Robertson needs revival. And I thought, oh my, if that great man of God needs revival, there's no hope for me. I want revival. I spoke on personal revival. And then on Sunday night of that week, I hadn't planned on preaching on revival twice, but I preached on family, home revival. We talk about revival of the country. Well, that's okay, but that's not the answer. And even revival of the church is not necessarily the answer. But revival of the castle, my home. If my home, if this church has revival, but your home doesn't, we don't have revival. That's a few folks having a revival. I'm standing on that subject just this morning, not tonight. But I want you to listen very carefully. There's an evidence of revival. Am I in revival? Is there revival in my heart? Last night at men's prayer, we were praying for revival, that God would do something. What if revival? Well, Finney said this, it's a recognition of sin. That's sin in my life. We're prone to point out everyone else's sin. Jump on the internet. Tell everybody else, people that are broadcasting everybody else's sin, it's because they're covering their own. Let me try that one more time. I don't have time. Just say amen like I said it again. True, you don't have to broadcast everybody else's sin. My dad said, son, keep your own life clean. Amen. And I'm talking about revival as a recognition of sin. Secondly, Finney said, a repentance or a turning from that sin. And then thirdly, a renewed desire to serve God. You know, we sang that little song, and I have you standing to stretch, because you'll be here for the next 4 hours. We've got a good message today. It's last week's message, last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, tonight, all together. But I can give you hope. Normally, I preach about 30 minutes. But there's that little song. In my heart, send a great revival. Teach me how to watch and pray and to read my Bible. Can we try it one time before we have prayer? In my heart, send a great revival. Sing it together. In my heart, and send a great revival. Send a great revival. Teach me how to watch and pray. Teach me how to watch and to read my Bible. And to read my. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I love these people so much. What an honor to be called their friend and be called their pastor. And I pray as we look at this revival that was held at Mizpah, I pray that it would open our eyes to the evidence of revival in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. In my personal Bible reading last Monday, I believe it was Monday, I was in this text. And the Bible says, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came, and they fetched up the ark of the Lord. The ark of the Lord is like our Lord's table that's not here today, but we bring it in. It would fit this area here in a box. And in the box was Aaron's rod, Moses' rod, and in the box was the law. And the ark of the covenant had a lid on top with the cherubs on top. It was a beautiful piece of furniture, and it traveled with those Jews, and it was in the temple. And the ark of the covenant represented the touch, the presence, the power of an almighty God. Friend, if we ever needed the presence of God, we need the presence of God today. And here, the Ark of the Covenant had been gone for some time. In fact, verse 2, it came to pass while the Ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that time was long. It was 20 years. Oh, the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Oh, if we could just get back, he said. They said, we could just get back that Ark of the Covenant. If we could just get back the presence of God. Spent 20 years. It's been 20 years since we felt the presence of God. I don't know how you are, but I tell you what, someone preaches, Brother Dr. Young preached this morning in Sunday school taught. I felt like we should have had it. I would have walked forward, and it was on child rearing, and we have no children. When was the last time you felt the presence of God and at the invitation you came forward and you knelt? Has there been anything you've been praying about? I know you can pray at home, but friend, has God moved in your heart in church at all? Has he spoken to your heart? Has you heard that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? There's special music today. We're in church. Want to see something happen, the presence and touch of God. And he says here in verse number 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. There's an evidence of revival you're going to see in a moment. There's revival in this place. In fact, if you have Scofield's notes, he says there's revival at Mizpah. And I want to say the evidence of revival is a returning to God. A returning to God. Do you have a son or a daughter that's backslidden away from God? As the prodigal son was away, dad went out every day to look. I would do something. I'd get to an altar. I'd get down at the front of the church and kneel and pray and say, God, have a son who's away from you. He doesn't read his Bible. He doesn't pray. He doesn't go to God's church. He's living with a woman. He gets drunk. He's on opium. He's a drug addict. God, please bring my prodigal son back home. Can't imagine, my heart goes out. I am not condemning one person with a prodigal son. You're not going to get that out of me. If I had a son away from God today, I don't know how I could sleep. My heart would be so crushed. People say, Pastor, why don't you sleep well? Because I have entire membership I'm responsible for. And I look at my prayer journal and the many that I have listed there. First thing my son-in-law does if I die, I want him to get that prayer journal and shred it. I don't want people to see their names on there. I'm praying for so many prodigals, sons and daughters and men and women that are away from God, haven't been to church. My heart doesn't get mad at them. I'm not angry with them. I don't want to preach against their names. I want to pray, oh God, bring them back. Bring that boy back. Bring that girl back. They're our kids. We love them. How tragic when there's revival. When there's revival, the prodigal comes in and he sits down. Oh, he may not look like what we call the church goer. There may be spittle in the beard. There may be a smell about them being away from God and living in a gutter. But Jesus loves that boy, and Jesus loves that girl. And there's a mother whose heart is broken. The amazing R.A. Torrey got away from God, rejected God, walked away from his mother. She said, "Son, take my Bible with you as you leave." And he said, "I won't take it, mother. I won't take it." And she said, "Well, you're going to have to take one thing." He said, "I'm not taking anything." She said, "You're going to take the prayers of your mother." The night he was prepared to commit suicide, above an upper flat, that night he began to realize that he had a mother that loved him and a God that loved him. And somehow he began to find a Bible in that room, began to read it, and he came to God, and he came back home, became a mighty preacher of the gospel. I want to say tonight that when we see church members that are away from God coming, we don't say something as foolish as, "Well, welcome home, prodigals. We're glad you're back." No, sir. That's what we're praying for. Returning. I know what's going to happen next week, youth conference. I know what's going to happen. These great preachers are going to be preaching the Word of God. And I know some will get cynical because some of our kids, hundreds of our own kids will be here. Some of our kids will walk forward and get right with God. Some might trust Christ as their Savior. And I'm not going to be cynical. Okay, now you do this at youth conference and you get right. Now you're going to do it at camp in August and you get right. And you're going to get back in school and get right. Hey, let them get right all the time. I need revival constantly. I'm not throwing cold water on that. Young people, God begins to speak to your heart today about revival in your heart and youth conference. Come at that altar and pour out your heart. God, would you send revival to me? I was sitting here. I did what I did this morning, what I do every song. I looked through the whole house. I look who's missing. I look who's here. And God put my eyes on a young man this morning while we were singing. And I said, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing with that kid's life. And he's not rebellious and he's not a bad kid. But I think you're calling him to something. I think he's the one in his family. God, you're doing something real special. I'm not going to tell him." You come up to me and say, "Was it me? Was it me?" I won't tell you. I never said, I never prayed. I prayed, but I never told my son one time or our girls to be preachers' wives. I never prayed. I never said to my son, "Son, you're going to be a preacher." I don't want to be daddy called. Oh, but when about 15 years ago or so, God called him to be a preacher of the gospel. I was shouting for joy. I was answered. Prayer, daily prayer in my life, and it's a preacher of the gospel tonight, today. When has there been a returning to God in your life? And here the man of God says, Samuel spake, "If you do return unto the Lord with your hearts, that's an evidence that you're having a revival. I want to get back to church." People in revival are not making plans how to get out of church tonight. I don't want less church. I mean, if you want less church, almost any church in the city will be closed tonight. We build these big buildings and beautiful buildings for 1 hour on Sunday, and that's it, one and done. And I did my God thing. Oh, no, friend, so much the more as we see the day approaching, we want to get to the house of God. We want to return to Bible, to prayer, to singing, to service, to doing what God wants us to do. I find secondly in that verse, there's not only returning to the Lord. Do you see it there? Secondly, there's a removal of sin. He said, "I want you to return. Put away the strange gods." What's entered your life from my life? What's entered your home that doesn't belong there? Would you please figure it out? What doesn't belong there? I read a book this week. Just came out this week. Mr. Gingrich wrote it. On the president's first 500 days. My heart broke when I read it there that the last 10 years our medical doctors have flooded America with opium. Oxycontin, things of this nature, just flooded it. And they said for senior saints, they're making extra money because it's only $1 a bottle. And then they can sell these pills on the street. And they said there's enough opium that every adult in America right now, on the average, has a bottle in their house. Every American, 350 million bottles. And 180 people today will die from opium. Today, in America, 180 people today will die from opium. Do you know how many children are going to be looking this week in a casket? My daddy died from opium. My mother died from opium. My grandfather, my grandmother, my son, my daughter, my grandkids. Friend, what's going on in America is the church. God's people need revival. Going to come back to God. And then when we're back to God, you say, I go to church and there's rules and regulations. You need revival. Because when there's revival, it says, Lord, what do you want me to get rid of? What's the barnacles on my life that I need to cast off? What is it, God, that you want of my life? Remove. The third thing I see, that verse is, there's an overwhelming desire to serve him and serve him only. Are you noticing what I'm noticing? Because we're not serving God, we're serving ourselves. Would you take a selfie with me? The Me Too movement. It's all about me. I'm not happy. It's all about my enjoyment. Let's go get some beer. Men and women speak that way. It's all about self. And when a nation gets absorbed with herself, we self-destruct. We corrode and rot inside, not outside. What shows on the outside? You see, I see these kids all marked up and chained up and tattooed up and scarred up, and it's not them, and adults as well, men my age. I'm looking at them. I'm not mad at them. I'm thinking, there's a hurt person. I wonder how come they're so hurt. What is it? Who hurt them? How they hurt themselves, or who hurt them in life? Oh, but when we have revival, I want to serve God. I want to do something with my life. I'm looking at my life and how fast it has gone to this point. And I'm thinking, God, I wish I had more. I envy these young boys going into the ministry. They're going in a difficult time, yes. But by the grace of God, they have a lifetime ahead to serve the King of Kings. Get up. Go to work and go to the office and go to church and go to hospitals and visit the shut-ins and knock on doors and pass tracts and talk to people and go to the jails and help people the pathway of life. Serving God. I see there's a fourth evidence. I'll go quickly. Verse 5. When there's revival, it shows up in the leadership. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. And I will pray you unto the Lord. I will pray for you unto the Lord. What does your prayer list look like? Adults, I'm coming to you right now. Who are you praying for? Brother Pusin, those missionary letters you give me, and then you give me the emails once or twice a week. I had a whole stack on my desk yesterday. As I'm looking at these missionaries that are talking about the communist countries where they're serving and socialist countries where they're serving, and how that things are changing so rapidly, and there's anarchy against Christianity, I'm thinking, thank God they're going on our behalf. But all our friends, missionaries, you see the prayer page Wednesday night, all those missionaries, they need prayer. Amen. They need prayer. As they serve God in a foreign soil, they're willing to go for us. Let's take the land of Mexico, the land of Philippines, where we have a lot of missionaries. Can you, and the names are published every Wednesday night on the prayer list, can you give me five names? We have much more than that in the Philippines. Five missionaries. You're a member of this church. We run the prayer page every Wednesday. Can you name five missionaries in the Philippines? Can you name five? And we have more missionaries in Mexico. Can you name our missionaries in Nepal, where if you convert Christianity, they could legally cut your hands off? Can we pray? Do we know the ones that are in undisclosed countries behind iron curtains? Do we know the names in Latin America, South America? Do we know those that are in Asia? Here, when a man's in revival, leaders, I'm talking about pastor, I'm talking about deacons and staff and Sunday school teachers and mothers and dads. We're in revival. We're praying for people. We're just praying for people. If you came to church this morning, I see that young boy there. He's probably about a 10th grader, 11th grade. Maybe 12th grade. Lord, I don't know why, but you're laying him on my heart. I don't even know his name. But I'm praying for that. Lord, there's that young mother right there. She has one, two, three little children. She and her husband. Well, I don't know their name. But that couple that sat right there, are you praying for them? Are you praying for this couple over here? It looks like they're having maybe a little marital difficulty. You don't go get all the information from them. You go to God. You go to God and say, God, that couple, it seems like they're having a hard time. I don't need to know any of the surroundings or what's going on, but God, would you please help that couple this week? When there's revival, I know I'm out of time. Leadership seeks God. When there's revival, there's self-denial. Verse 6. And they gathered together in Mizpah and drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day. Fasted to say, I'm going to do without food. Well, Steve Epley had a new book that came out this week. So Brother Treber called me and goes, I'm not a writer. Oh, it's a good book. I perused through it and I knew some of the things he was going to be putting in there. But one of his chapters, can't we fast one meal for America? Can't we just say, I'm going to miss this breakfast once a week? Or a Jewish fast from sunrise to sunset? Or a 24-hour fast? Can't you say, I don't need to eat, I need to pray? I find when there's an evidence of, and I know I'm giving you some more points than usual, but when there's an evidence of revival in chapter, verse number 6, there's admittance. What did they say? We have sinned. Not we have covered, we have sinned. Verse 7, there comes attack from without when you're in revival. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. You don't have attack. When God begins to work in your heart, the devil says, I'm going to work as well. And when there's revival, the attack comes without and the attack comes from within. Verse number seven. And they were afraid of the Philistines. I think when we have revival, we think we're just fearless. You're not just fearless. You're looking at a man that has great, great, great faith. You're looking at a man that at times has great, great, great fear. I can believe God for so much. I'm believing God for so much for this church these days as we head 7 years into our 50th anniversary. I just believe God can and God is. I just believe it. And then when the attack comes, I have great fear. Oh, dear God. And I won't even begin to tell you the fear that grabs my heart. And I toss and I turn because I'm taking that burden. And instead of leaving it with the Lord, I'm picking it up and saying, God, I'm afraid. I'm weary of all this stuff. God, are you done with me? Great fear. People that are in revival still can have great fear. In verse 8, we'll close. When a person is in revival, there's a recognition that only God can help us. Only God can help us. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, and he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. I believe when you're in revival, people should be able to come up to you and say, will you pray for me? And the person that's asked to be asking that you would pray, you don't need to know everything about the situation. I don't need to know everything about it. And I know people that need more information. I just want to know so I know how to pray intelligently. No, the person asks you to pray, that should be enough. Amen. Why do we have to know everything? I am not suggesting covering sin. I'm suggesting that someone has might be a physical problem. It might be cancer. It might be MS. It might be Parkinson's. It might mean dialysis. And we have all that in this church. It might mean those things. Someone says, pray for my health. That should be enough. God, I don't know all about the health situation, but here's a person that has some poor health or they have a doctor or something. God, please, only you, the great physician, can touch their body and strengthen them. Here's a dear mother, a dear father that said, please pray for my prodigal son. Well, let me know all about him. What's he doing? Where's he at? What's going on? I don't need to know all that. I need to know there's a mother or dad. It says, I got a boy, I got a girl away from God. And it's breaking my heart. Brother Young, will you explain that to me? How this family raises their kids up in God's house and these two go astray and these two go right. I don't understand all that. I'm glad I never wrote a book on that. Yeah, you do it by a formula. They'll all turn out for God. I don't understand how some can reject God. I don't understand that. But my job is to be a loving pastor and say, God, that boy or that girl is either not saved or they're so far away from you, but they're killing their parents. And God, they're breaking your heart. I have so much more to say. I believe we'll stop right there. Are you having a revival? Is a revival going on in your heart? What do you have to drop off of your life and get rid of and abandon it? And what do you have to admit? I've sinned. They say a pastor normally preaches on what he's dealing with in his own life. I've been preaching now 3 messages. I'm not going to make it a summer series. This is it. So apparently I must feel like I need revival. And I do feel like I need revival. I wish I could have some redo days. And I'll never get those days. David said, my sin is ever before me. And the devil torments us with that. I know that. And we all have sin. It's easy that we can commit because Hebrews, remember several weeks ago, let aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. It is easy for, I don't know where the devil tempts you, tries you, but all of us have it. So I guess I'm admitting today, standing before this great crowd and speaking to over 100 countries right now, I know I need revival. And I know I want revival. Oh, Father, I love these people so much. I just love them. And I pray that they too will join me in a heart for revival. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and there's no need to go to a bus because no bus is loading yet.